kind enough to join me this morning here on WAKR is Dr. Carl Kaufenthaler. He is the director for the Center for Intelligence and Security Studies, professor of the Department of Political Science, research fellow, Williams Honors College, and also, of course, at the University of Akron, and one of our contributors to the show in the political arena. And I reached out to Carl because what is developing and continue to develop with this Hamas group that staged the missile attacks into Israel Saturday morning to what is now, quote, being a war. And Carl, let's start right there with this group, Hamas. A lot of people just starting to get on to this story. Hamas took control of the Gaza Strip back in 2007, but a lot of people don't know about, I should say 2017, but a lot of group people don't know about this group and certainly what they stand for and the power that they have. So let's start with Hamas, Carl, and build from there.
Sure, Ray. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on this morning. So Hamas is designated by the U.S. government as a terrorist group. And it is an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is a group that got started in Egypt, but is also spread into Palestinian areas. And so what Hamas is it's basically the armed wing of what was originally kind of a political religious movement to create an Islamic state, not like ISIS, but a state governed by Sharia, not nearly as draconian as ISIS is. And so Hamas got started to fight Israel because Hamas has a pretty singular mission in mind, and that is to reclaim Israel's territory, which they think of as just Palestine, and create an Islamic state in place of the state of Israel. So it doesn't recognize the state of Israel's right to exist. It's got this really pretty dangerous mandate from the Israeli standpoint because it doesn't think that Israel should exist as a state. And so Hamas is really a significant threat to Israel, not just because of this mission that Hamas has, but also Hamas is engaged in waves of terror attacks over the years. It targets civilians, putting bombs on buses or using suicide bombers. And then this latest attack was really a mixture of different types of attacks. You had the missiles, which Hamas has been using fairly frequently over the years, from Gaza into Israel. But you also had armed attacks on the ground, where you had hundreds of Hamas fighters cross the border, get into Israel itself, and then attack mostly civilian targets, some military targets as well. But a lot of civilians were targeted. And we know now approximately upwards of probably 600 Israeli civilians, maybe more, were killed during these attacks. So this was a major escalation of what Hamas has done in the past.
So Carl, let's do some more education here. The Gaza Strip, right there on the shore and just right beside Israel, they come in with the missiles, they're kidnapping, and they're killing folks. A lot of people want to know about the Palestinians on that Gaza Strip. And I mentioned that the Gaza Strip fell under Hamas control. I think I misspoke. I think I said 2017. It was actually 2007. How do the Palestinians look at Hamas, who has controlled that Gaza Strip?
Well, the Palestinians are divided. The Palestinians are divided among several groups. So there's not just Hamas. There's other armed groups as well. But the general Palestinian public is also divided in its loyalties. Some of the Palestinians are loyal to what's called the Palestinian Authority, which is which is the group that's in charge in the West Bank. In Gaza, as you stated, Hamas is in control. We know that Hamas is popular with a certain segment of the Palestinian population. It gets blamed for a lot of things, but we know that it tends to get more popular the more it does in terms of attacking Israel. So this is a politically wise move on the part of Hamas. It actually boosts its standing among Palestinian population. And one of the things that's really important to keep in mind about Gaza is an extremely miserable place to live. It is very, very crowded. It has been blockaded for years by the Israelis. Basic services are hard to come by, and you've got a growing population in a very, very crowded place. People in Gaza are not happy with the status quo. And partially they blame Hamas, but more of them, many, many more, blame the Israelis for this because of what's essentially been a blockade of Gaza over the years. And the Israelis counter that the blockade is there because of Hamas attacks. But, you know, Gazans, for the most part, and we know because there's public opinion data that's collected in Gaza, they're not blaming generally Hamas for that. Some of them do, but most of them don't. They're blaming Israel for that. Well, and they look at the rocket attacks and other things as justified responses to the Israeli blockade.
Very interesting. Dr. Carl Kaltenthaler is with us. Again, director of the Center for Intelligence and Security Studies at the University of Akron and a professor, as I mentioned, Department of Political Science Research Fellow, Williams Honors College. Carl, a lot of people, when they hear the group of terror cells and terror groups, they think Al-Qaeda. Maybe they think of Hezbollah. And now we have this Hamas group. Take us into what you know of these terror groups and how powerful, how strong is this Hamas group?
Well, one thing I would say, first of all, you mentioned Al-Qaeda, you mentioned Hezbollah, then you mentioned Hamas. I think it's really important for your listeners to understand that while these groups are all designated as terrorist organizations by the U.S. government, they're different groups, and they have different goals. They have different ideologies. They may all oppose the United States, but they are not natural allies. And really briefly, I would say Hamas and Al-Qaeda are as different as night and day. Hamas does not support the same kind of Islamic vision that Al-Qaeda does. While it is a terrorist group, and there's no getting around that, it has a more moderate vision when it comes to what kind of Islamic country or state it would like to create. So Hamas and Al-Qaeda are actually enemies. They're not friends at all. Hezbollah is a Shia group, and Hamas is a Sunni group. So they're two different sects of Islam. So they're not natural friends either. The one thing they have in common, though, is they despise Israel. They want to destroy Israel. They cooperate a little bit, not a tremendous amount, but that they have in common. So Hamas is now being supported by Iran. Once again, this is a weird kind of relationship because Iran is Shia, Hamas is Sunni. But the one thing that they have in common is that they hate Israel. So this kind of distaste for Israel, this hatred of Israel, has created some strange bedfellows in the region. And I think that's important for your listeners to keep in mind that, if they would stop fighting Israel, they would start fighting each other, these groups. They really have nothing more in common than their common hatred of Israel.
Carl, when I look at this situation, it's almost like a puzzle of what is going on and a real devious puzzle of what might be happening when we see what's going on in the Ukraine. And as you mentioned, Iran, and Iran has been linked to Russia. And is Iran leading this charge with Hamas to maybe pull the United States' attention into that area? I don't think this is by chance. It seems to be very calculated on what is going on in the region. Am I reading too much into that?
No, I think you are on the same page with a lot of us who see the hand of Iran in this. To a degree. So one thing that's really important to keep in mind, Hamas is not a puppet of Iran. So it's not like the Iranians snap their fingers and Hamas jumps to attention. But it is very clear that Iran supports Hamas in important ways, with money, with weapons, with technology, things like that. There may have been some Iranian help with coordinating the attack against Israel that just happened. But it wasn't like Iran said, hey, Hamas, go attack Israel, and Hamas did it. Hamas has been planning this for a long time. In fact, we know now it's been planning this for years. This was a very highly coordinated attack that took a long time to prepare. So, you know, was Iran part of the planning? Probably. So I think more importantly than Iran trying to pull the United States' attention away from Ukraine, both Hamas and Iran have a very clear common goal, and that is to scuttle normalization of relations between Israel and Saudi Arabia. So you may or may not know that Israel has developed diplomatic relations with a number of Arab states, and this got started during the Trump administration, which helped to create what's called the Abraham Accords, which normalized relations between Israel and a number of Arab states. This was obviously looked at very negatively by the Palestinians because they're thinking, okay, now these Arab states are recognizing Israel. They're treating it like a normal country. They've abandoned the Palestinian cause. And so for Saudi Arabia and Israel to normalize relations, it's really a step too far for some of these Palestinian groups to be able to accept. And so I'm fairly convinced that the major reason why this attack was orchestrated was to scuttle that, because there's no way the Saudis now can say, we're going to recognize Israel, given that Israel is already pounding targets in Gaza. In Gaza, like I said, is such a densely populated place. Any target that gets hit in Gaza is likely to lead to civilian casualties. And if Israel goes in on the ground, which may very well happen, there will be even more casualties. This will be very, very ugly warfare. There's no way the Saudis can say, oh, okay, we're going to normalize a relationship with Israel. So this was a calculated political operation. Terrorist attack, yes, but the bigger goal is political.
Carl, my final question for you this morning is, how deep can this go? I guess the strength of Hamas, if they do have Iran behind them, we certainly know that Israel has some military power. How long could this possibly go? What is the strength of Hamas here?
Well, Hamas has numbers, but those numbers don't matter a tremendous amount, because compared to Israel's military strength, Hamas just isn't even close. But the thing that Hamas has, really its trump card, is the Gaza Strip itself. The Gaza Strip is very, very heavily populated urban area. So it's all buildings. It's not like, you know, we're talking farmland and people living out in the countryside. We're talking about a highly populated urban area where you have now thousands of tunnels that have been dug underneath that urban area. Hamas did this on purpose to create this tunnel network. So if Israel comes in on the ground, Israel will face an absolute nightmare of trying to destroy Hamas, because Hamas fighters can go into these tunnels. They can move around. We've seen them do this in the past when Israel's coming on the ground. Israel will come in on the ground with troops or tanks, and then all of a sudden, Hamas fighters will pop up behind the Israelis because they'll come out of a tunnel, and the Israelis had no idea that there was a tunnel underneath them. So that it's very easy to ambush the Israelis when they come in. It's very difficult for the Israelis to maneuver with armor because it's so built up, it's so urban. So if Israel decides to go in a ground war, this will be a very, very difficult thing. Not because Hamas has very sophisticated weapons or fighters that are better trained than Israel. That's not the case at all. But just because this is such a difficult area to fight war.
Understood. Carl, great information this morning and terrific insight and really education, what we're hearing so much about and taking us to that region. Thank you, Carl.